I leaned heavily on everybody else to sing some today so that the healing that is manifesting in my body, it's there in Jesus' name, but my voice has got to catch up with it. And so I was saving some for this. So good stuff. You guys, thank you so much, worship team. Y'all are rocking and rolling. Praise the Lord. Okay. You got my PowerPoint there, Joe? Let's just start off with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you so much for what you're doing in Eden's life and in her body, God, and that you have honored your word as we have declared it over her. God, I just thank you that tomorrow she's going to come home and she's going to be the healthiest baby on the planet, Father, and we just thank you for your word, and I pray that you will just breathe on it. God, without you breathing on your word, God, I need you to breathe on it. I need your words to become life off the page, God, and seed in our hearts, Father, in Jesus' name, and I just thank you for what you're going to speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 13. So if you'll find that, we're going to be all over that chapter. If you will give me one. Y'all glad I didn't do that in the microphone? Good. All right. Today we're going to be studying secrets from the kingdom. Did you know that there are actually secrets embedded in the word of God? And it's the coolest thing because the secrets in God's word, they're not hidden from us. They're hidden for us. From the foundation of the world, Matthew 13, 35 says, some of these secrets are from the foundation of the world. And these are secrets to walking in victory in every area of our lives. They're hidden in the parables, hidden right in plain sight. Jesus would often, when he would go to the people, he would speak in stories. And the people who weren't really interested in knowing what Jesus had to say, they'd be like, oh, that's just such a pretty story. Hopefully he'll feed us today and heal some people and it'll be a good show. But those who really wanted to know what God was saying, they would come to Jesus afterward and say, what did this parable mean? And Jesus would expound and they would go away understanding more of the kingdom. And so Jesus told parables with secrets embedded, and the disciples in Matthew chapter 13, if you want to stand, we're going to read that. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 10. And it says, and the disciples came to Jesus and says, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it's been given to you to know the mysteries. And another word for that is secrets in the Greek, of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it's not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have in abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And let's look in verse 35 also, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. And we're going to look at some of that stuff today, and I believe we're going to go away equipped to walk in more of the kingdom. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. So some of these secrets were from the foundation of the world. And like I said, they are hidden for us, not from us. Because the truth is, Satan wants to know God's secrets. If he can know God's, if he can know the plans that God has for your life in advance, he can try to thwart them. Satan is always trying to find out what God's doing and counterfeit it. In fact, from the very beginning, he has done that. That is why we have a secret prayer language. We pray mysteries to God when we pray in tongues. It is a very covert operation where we can be storming the gates of heaven and Satan has no idea what we're doing when we're praying. It's very cool. The Bible is a book that can't be understood fully without the Holy Spirit. In fact, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So when you read your Bible, you ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me understand what you're saying and apply it to my life, because I want to walk in all that you have. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. He doesn't speak most of the time in our ears. He speaks to our hearts. And then we go and blab it sometimes. We go share all this stuff that Joseph got in trouble. God gave him a dream and he starts telling it to his brothers, and that did not work out well, right? Sometimes we say things ahead of God's timing. And so the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. And sometimes we give Satan way too much intel. We say, you know what? If this happens, I just don't think I can serve the Lord anymore. It's just too hard. And Satan's like, good to know. Okay, so that's your jugular. We just blab sometimes, right? When God keeps things hidden for our benefit sometimes. Let's look in verse 12. Go ahead and put up the PowerPoint after this, Joe, okay? For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will be given in abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. So how we steward the things that we learn from God's word, when the Holy Spirit reveals something to us, how we steward that will determine if we get to go further or if we don't. If we hear the word of God and we're like, oh, that was such a good message, I'm not going to take notes or try to remember it or anything, I'm just going to walk away and act like it's not a big deal, then we lose it. Just like that, we can lose it. So how we steward what we're learning from God's word, man, I got notebooks on notebooks, and I keep files on my computer. Anytime God says something to me, I write it down. And sometimes when I'm having off days, because we all have off spiritual days where you're just waking up and you are not feeling it, on those days, man, I bring out my testimony journal, start reading that thing. Okay? So go ahead to the next one, Joe. The next PowerPoint. There you go. Okay. I don't know if y'all can see that very well. But Matthew 13:15 is this bottom point. What is at stake in understanding these secrets that we're going to go over? For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. If we understand these secrets embedded in the parable that we're going to study today, that word heal in the Greek, it actually means Iaomai, which means to make whole. We are to be walking through this life whole. But if we do not understand and apply God's words, then a lot of people that Jesus paid a high price for them to walk in wholeness are walking around broken. And we're going to find out how to not have to do that anymore. Okay, so let's read the parable of the sower, and then we're going to dissect that and get some really cool secrets from it. This is the parable that Jesus told. In Matthew 13:3, let's start it off. And it says, then Jesus spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured it. And some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now we're going to get into some cool secrets from the parable. Joe, if you would show the next slide, please. Okay, go ahead to the next one. So we've got four different types of soil in this parable. And the secret that we're going to come away with from the parable of the sower is God gives us the blessings of the kingdom. Whatever you need, there is a scripture for it. You just got to ask the Holy Spirit to give you a fight verse. And sometimes it's very interesting. The fight verses that the Holy Spirit gives you to fight the fight of faith with are something that seems a little random. I had a friend who, she was struggling in her back, in her tailbone. And so she was reading the Bible one day, and she came across a verse that said, the Lord is your rear guard. And that thing jumped off the page to her, and that became her fight verse. I'm not going to have to go to the doctor. The Lord is my rear guard. And she was healed. But sometimes you read the word and it's like, that seems random. The Lord gave me one time, I was struggling after I had Caleb. I went through 3 years of some real complications, and I wasn't sure I was going to be able to have any more kids. One day I was reading Isaiah chapter 58, and this random verse that's actually talking about the people of Jerusalem, but one little phrase of Isaiah 58 caught me, and it spoke to me. I'm not going to get into the intricacies because that is TMI, but that verse spoke to me to the specific condition I was dealing with. And it goes on to say, those that shall be of you shall restore you in Isaiah 58. And I knew in that moment, go ahead and have kids. You're going to be healed. It's going to be fine. Three babies later. Later, the Lord just has completely healed it. By the time I was pregnant with Noah, I had no more complications. So God can take those scriptures, breathe life to them, and these are your fight verses. Okay? So God gives us the kingdom through his word in seed form. And it is up to us to plant that word in our hearts. And the degree to which we steward in our hearts what God has told us is the degree to which we can walk whole. That's what's at stake, being whole, like Matthew 13, 15 says. Okay, so the first type of heart that is mentioned, go ahead to the next slide. We will see through this parable. The story of the parable of the sower is told in Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. They all tell a different version of, well, the same version, just differently. And Luke 8 points out the parable is this: the seed that the sower is sowing is the word of God. Okay. And the soil represents the hearts of the hearers. And I don't know if you can see these hearts really well, but it's really cool. How our hearts are cultivated will determine how much victory we walk in. So it's really important. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart, guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life, plural. Every issue of life can be met with this word. The question is, what do you do with the seed? When you read that word and it says you can walk in wholeness, you can walk in health, you can walk in prosperity, what do you do with that seed? Do you cultivate it in your heart, or do you walk away and say, oh, I'm just not as strong as those other people. I just don't have that kind of faith, and miss out. Okay, so four different types of hearts we're going to look at in the parable of the sower. Go ahead to the next one, Joe. The first heart is the wayside heart. That is the unprepared heart. And this is where a lot of Christians are, unfortunately. It says in Matthew 13, 18, this first heart, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word, the seed of the kingdom, and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives by the wayside. It is so important that we understand God's word, that you understand it. Because in understanding, if there's something, maybe something that you hear in the sermon today, you hear about healing and you think, really? Will God heal every part of my body? It might not happen immediately, as I am testifying to with my sinuses. It might not happen immediately, but I can walk in complete health. I just don't get how that could work. And a lot of people stop at that. I just don't get how that works. And then they just walk away. If we will seek to understand, know this, God will make you whole, but Satan doesn't want you to be. And so in Mark's account of the parable of the sower, the Bible says in Mark 4:15, when someone hears the word of God and doesn't understand it, Satan comes immediately for the word. He doesn't care about you. He just doesn't want you to be what God's called you to be. So he comes immediately and steals that word. So when you hear that God can make you whole by reading this book, you think, I don't even see how words on a page can make me whole. That doesn't make any sense to me. People walk out and never become whole. They just choose not to understand. But we can prepare our hearts so that they will understand. How do we prepare our hearts? First of all, with worship. When you come in on Sunday mornings, even if you're not feeling it, maybe you've had a crazy week, man, you just start worshiping. You start weeding out anything that is distracting you from Jesus. You start centering your mind on him. You start saying, God, I want to prepare my heart to hear from your word today. So when it comes forth, I'm going to grab that word and I'm going to run with it. And I'm going to see it accomplish great things in my life. So you worship. But know this, Isaiah 55:8 says, God's ways are higher than ours. You're never going to understand how this book can transform your life. You're never going to understand it with your mind, ever. I mean, like, I don't understand how I can eat my oatmeal and how it nourishes my body. I don't get it, but I eat it and it still nourishes my body, right? Right? So Pam's like, oh, not her healthy stuff. But we don't understand how feeding our bodies works, but we still feed our bodies and it still works. We don't always understand how God's word can change our lives, but we feed on it and we will discover in time that it does. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. If you wait to understand the things of God, you're never going to walk in them, because we're never going to understand all of the things of God with our head. He speaks them to our heart. And then we have to renew our mind. Romans 12:2 says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So when God speaks something to our heart, I've heard it said, your heart can fit places your head can't. So when God speaks something to your heart, then if your mind is renewed, when that thing comes up and you start thinking about what God has spoken to your heart and that still small voice, a renewed mind says, I don't get it, but I believe it because that's what God said. An unrenewed mind says that is impossible and squelches the seed of God. So that is why it is so important that we renew our mind. So when God speaks to our heart, then it can come through our mind supports it, and we can walk in the things of God. When you look at the Battle of Jericho, I don't understand how you can yell at a wall and it falls. That makes no sense, right? I don't understand how you can raise a rod like Moses did and the Red Sea parted. That makes no sense in the natural, but it works. And so if we'll receive these promises, when we read God's word and something jumps off the page, if we will receive that promise and allow it to marinate in our hearts, keep our mind renewed by reading his word every day, man, we can walk in greater things than we have ever walked in. Greater things than ever before. Okay, so we want to worship. We prepare our heart by writing it down. When God gives you a scripture and breathes on it, that's your fight verse. And you read that thing. God spoke something to me a year and a half ago, and I keep speaking it every day. I just speak that thing. Hasn't come to pass yet, but it will, because he's told me it would. So I wrote it down and I speak it. And find out what areas you need to grow in and then study it. Google verses on that. Maybe you deal with addiction. That, hey, listen, let's be honest. The statistics say that pornography is 68% in the church. If you are dealing with an addiction, what do? You look up verses on how to deal with addiction, and you speak those verses every time you want to look at a picture, every time you want to take a drink, every time you want to go to whatever addiction it is, you speak that scripture and you say, God, this word is working mightily in me. And the cool thing is Hebrews 4:12 says that God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. You keep speaking God's word. And while that seed, the seed of the word is being planted in your heart, at the same time, that sword can be cutting out that mess out of your heart. So that is the importance. I heard a story from Jimmy Evans. He has a book called Every Man's Battle. I heard a sermon from him one day, and he was talking about a man who was so determined and regimented in every area of his life. I mean, it's like he had everything together. But he flew across the country one day to meet with Jimmy Evans, and he said, I am bound to pornography and I just can't shake it. I have done everything and I cannot shake this thing. And Jimmy Evans, who had also fought that battle himself, he said, let me tell you what I did. He had read a book from one of his college professors who had also dealt with an addiction to pornography. And this professor had told him how point by point, he looked up scriptures, and every time he wanted to go to that thing, whatever you deal with, maybe you're addicted to worry, whatever you're addicted to, every time you want to think about the thing, you pull out that scripture and you speak that scripture instead of that thing. Let's do a little test. Ready? Pink elephants. What did you just think about? How many of you just thought about a pink elephant? Okay. Now do not think about red dogs right now. How many of you just thought about a red dog? Okay. Right? It's natural. It's natural. The minute you say, I will not think about this, I will not do it, your flesh says, yes, you will. Yeah, we're totally going to do that right now. That is why instead of trying to say, I'm just not going to think about this thing, I'm just not going to do this anymore. No, you replace it. Don't try to stop on your own. You replace that thought with God's word. And you can't think about a pink elephant when you're busy saying, I am being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I'm not thinking about it. I'm trying to remember the next part of that verse. I'm not thinking about a pink elephant. So you replace that. That's why God's given you his word. So we study the scripture in the area that we need to grow, and we just replace that stuff. And that scripture, it might not work overnight, but it will work mightily in your life. Okay, so the second one, we're going to go faster through the other ones. Matthew 13:20. So the first is the wayside heart, the one who was unprepared, didn't get it, didn't understand, so they walked away and never walked in wholeness. The second heart is Matthew 13:20. He who received the seed of the word on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution comes, because of the word, Satan is after the word again. Every time he just wants the word because he knows the power of it in your life. Immediately, this person stumbles. Often we want to see immediate results. We say, okay, God heals, rock on. I want to be healed right now. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes you get a miracle. Other times it is a progressive healing. Even when Jesus healed, there were a couple of times where it was progressive. And so that is when we have to cultivate our heart, and we have to allow the healing scriptures to take root in us. Because if we don't have a root, when we start believing God for healing and it doesn't happen in 24 hours, we say, oh, it doesn't work. I tried that. It just doesn't work. I heard Andrew Womack. He is used mightily. He's seen the dead raised. He's seen people get up out of wheelchairs, mightily used of God. But when he first started believing God for divine healing, he had never been sick. He had always been one of those insanely healthy people. The first 6 months he started believing God for healing, he was like, I was sick as a dog for 6 months straight. Just 6 months straight. I mean, it was, finally he was like, what in the world? I was fine before I started believing in healing, and now I'm sick as a dog all the time. But he said, I had to come to the place that I said, this word works. Whether it ever shows up in my life, whether I ever understand it, this word works. And then he started seeing the dead raised. Satan did not want that word to take root in his life, because Satan knew what... in his limited knowledge, I'm sure that Andrew Womack would become a great healing evangelist. And Satan is after your destiny. And if he can rob the word out of your life, he can steal your destiny. And he can keep you from being whole, which is what the parables are designed to do, make you whole, but only if you cultivate your heart. So if you start believing in something and immediately everything hits the fan, that's a good sign, because Satan's after the word. And obviously you've gotten his attention. If you start believing God, I'm going to tithe. I'm going to tithe. And then every bill collector from Canada and America starts mailing you. You just keep the course. That's how you're putting down roots. Nope, God's word is true. I'm just pushing down these roots. And often before a plant ever shows up on the surface, man, you got some roots. We like to see things immediately happen on the surface. God is interested in what's going on below the surface, because the truth is, if God always immediately came through for us and you prayed, I want a healing right now, and God was like, okay, beep, here's your healing, we would never get in this word. And if we always say we want to give people a hand up, not a handout, God's the same. If we never learn to operate in this word, we can never teach other people how to operate in this word. We'll just give them microwave faith like we want to have. God is interested in people with roots. And so sometimes you have to fight the fight of faith, go a little deeper, and you will see the word do what it says it will do. It's promised, and God never lies. Okay. So how do you maintain your heart and go deeper? Go back to that. Okay. How do you we're in stony. Go back one, Joe. Okay. Stony soil. The Bible says in Matthew 13:20, I think it is, when you sow that into your heart, verse 21, it says they endure for a little while, but when tribulation comes, that tribulation actually in the Greek is thlipsis or pressure. People they get excited about the word of God, but when the pressure comes, they can't withstand the pressure. So how do you learn to withstand the pressure? You persevere. Hebrews 10:35 says, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Proverbs 4:23 says, tend your heart. All of the issues of your life come out of your heart. And Matthew 11:6, and this is a verse that I have really held on to, because a lot of Christians deal with this. Jesus said in Matthew 11:6, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. There are times when you're tempted to say, God, I have fought this battle and I am so tired and it feels like you're not here. And a lot of people give up and just say, God doesn't care. And a lot of people walk away from the church. They just walk away and they say it doesn't work because they became offended. Blessed or happy. On the other side of pushing through is victory, not just for you, but for the people who will come after you. So you got to push, man. You got to get those roots and refuse to be offended. Refuse. Okay. The third heart is the distracted heart, the thorny soil. Verse 22. Let's look at that. Matthew 13:22. He who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Notice it says the deceitfulness of riches. So many people think that if they could just get money and success and power, everything would be good. And that is the thing that breaks most people. Right? I mean, you look at Hollywood and they seemingly have everything, and yet they are some of the most broken people. And they have everything that people are striving to get in the natural. Riches are so deceitful. They are not the be all end all. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you'll have everything that you need, and you get to keep it in eternity, which is very cool. It takes me, go ahead to the PowerPoint, Joe. It takes 24/7 to walk with a renewed mind, and I ain't lying. Woo! Every day there is drama. There is drama. Even in the nursery, I was keeping the nursery during Sunday school, and one of the kids got mad at me, and Jonah came up to me and he said, "What's wrong with this kid?" I said, "Drama. That's just drama. That kid is fine. Just drama. Drama, even in a two-year-old's life, right? You start, the minute you were born, drama started, and it's just going to be a part of your life. And the stuff of life, you're always going to have people who want things from you, and your schedule is always going to be full, and you have to choose to walk with a renewed mind and stay in this word and keep meditating on it throughout the day. I don't read my Bible all day, but I just think about it. You know, as I'm sitting sometimes, I'll just think about verses that I like. I am transformed by the renewing of my mind, Romans 12:2 said. Then I can go and prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a perfect will of God for me. And it comes from thinking about his word. And you just sit there and just marinate in that word. You do that, and that word is working on the inside of you. We are in a battle. We cannot afford to take a day off. Satan wants our marriage. He wants our faith. He wants our destiny. He wants our kids. And he is willing to do whatever it takes to get all the above. And if we do not stay in the word, which is our sword and our seed, we will miss it. We will miss walking in a whole life. Life is busy, but we must take time to spend with him. How do you de-weed your heart? John 14:26 says, "The Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you." So when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, man, you listen. When you go to say something, I love having the last word. And in some ways it is a blessing that I have quick wit. And other times it is not a blessing that I have quick wit, because people will say things to me and I'm like, and sometimes it slips right. I'm like, "Oh, I said that out loud. Oh, now I have to eat crow." Last week, like the whole week, I told Shannon, it's like, I just need to cut my tongue off. I have eaten so much crow because I made myself just apologize. I was just, our kitchen was being remodeled. I couldn't find my anything, and I was just tired, and Shannon was about to have a baby, and I'm just thinking, it was just not a week. And so when we learn to cultivate our heart and the Holy Spirit says something, he will tell us, "Don't say that." And if we are listening to that still small voice, we can save ourselves crow. But often it feels so good to say it, right? It feels so good to say it, and then we have to go back, and it doesn't feel good to repent. So we listen to the Holy Spirit, and we can save our testimony and our sanity. Be led by peace. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule." And that word in the Greek means umpire. Let the peace of God umpire your heart. So if you're about to do something and you feel like, don't do that, then don't do it. If you're about to do something, the Holy Spirit's leading you to witness to somebody or reach out, just do it. Okay. When we get too stressed, be led by your peace. When you get too stressed, it is time to readjust the schedule. And I have had to be crazy vigilant about my schedule. Having four kids, and they all have their social lives and things that they want to do. I've had to learn to say, no, we can't do that because mama needs to stay in peace. Sorry. I gotta stay in peace. And I cannot, if I'm in three soccer fields and four basketball courts, I can't do that. So we just gotta guard your peace, man, because that is the key to hearing God. I need a lot of God time or my mood gets gnarly. Right, Caleb? If I don't have my God time, it is not pretty. We need a whole lot of Jesus. Okay, the easiest time to pull a weed is in its early stages. It starts out looking pretty, but then it starts putting out those evil thorns, right? All right, and the last kind of heart that we want to look at is the good soil. So we've got the unprepared heart, which is the wayside. We've got the shallow heart, which is the stony. It just doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't endure for time. Then we've got the distracted heart, which was the thorny heart. And finally, we've got the good soil. This is the person who gets to walk whole. But notice, Jesus knew when he told this parable, only one out of four people would do it, according to the statistic of this parable. And even in that, then there are some who get 30, some who get 60, some who get 100-fold. So Jesus, the statistics he was putting out is only 25% of the people who call themselves followers of Christ are ever going to walk in this type of soil. But I want to be one of those, right? I want to walk whole and be what God has called me to be. So let's see what we need to do to do that. Verse 23. He who receives seed of the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, and to understand it, sometimes you need to ask the Holy Spirit, "I need help." Go to your pastor, say, "I don't understand this." Get some good commentaries. put some skin in the game, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30. Okay, Joe, will you put up that last PowerPoint there? Okay. The good soil is the prepared heart. Now, Luke's rendition of the parable of the sower says that this person produces with patience. This is the hard part. When that seed gets into our heart, when you plant, every farmer understands you don't plant a seed in the ground and the next day have a pumpkin, right? You get that. But why don't we understand that in spiritual terms? There's just time sometimes involved, and we got to learn to fight, and we produce character, and we learn patience in the process. Mark 4:28 says something very good. It says, for the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. Jesus was talking about seeds again. Things don't always happen overnight. We want microwave, but sometimes the best thing that we can learn is a little bit of patience and learning how to grow a little deeper in the Word of God. If you want to harvest peace or joy or healing or restoration or freedom from addiction, sometimes it's just a process. And sometimes that means every day I am cultivating my heart. I am finding scriptures that deal with what I need to see in my life. I am praying. I am worshiping. I am declaring. I am keeping this heart rid of envy and bitterness. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for gossip. I don't have time for all that distractions. I want to keep my heart because I'm going to be whole. We're going to walk whole in the victory that Jesus paid a high price for us to walk in. And the degree to which we tend our hearts, I believe, is the degree to which we will walk in 30, 60, or 100 fold. And I want to walk in 100 fold for His glory. So how do you prepare your heart? John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me. That means you dwell there all the time. We don't visit Jesus. We walk with bears much fruit. And I want to be that one who bears much fruit. And I told you this, ask for seed verses for the harvest that you need, and He will give them to you. Now, James 1:5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He doesn't say He's going to give it to you in a minute. I've asked for verses to fight with before, and it will be days sometimes. And I'll be reading God's word days later, and all of a sudden a verse will jump off the page at me, and I'm like, that's my fight verse, isn't it? Okay, this is the one. So we write it down, and we start declaring it, and then we walk in victory. All right. A couple of seed facts. Go to the next one. We're going to wrap it up in a minute here. Couple of seed facts. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. Seeds take a little bit of time sometimes to cultivate. You do not dig up a garden that doesn't produce overnight. We get that. Keep planting the seeds in your heart in the area where you need growth. Now, here's the thing. Seeds look lifeless, right? They look lifeless. I mean, it's a little seed. And yet in one seed can be a million oak trees that are huge in that little seed, because that oak tree is going to produce more seeds. And so that seed looks lifeless. But as you plant it in your heart, this looks like words on a page. But you plant this thing in your heart and it will make you whole if you cultivate it. Your harvest can feed other people. Brian and Christy have a garden. And y'all remember, I eat like 12 heads of romaine lettuce every week because we kill romaine lettuce in our house. And so when it had the salmonella on it, I was like, I'm gonna have to go with that lame iceberg lettuce. And so I called, and Pam's like, yes, for a week she was normal. So I called Brian York and I was like, I have no romaine lettuce. And I was like, can I come and raid your garden that does not have salmonella lettuce? Sure enough, that boy came through 3 bags of lettuce, and it kept me through the entire salmonella time. And I have my sweet thing. So your harvest can feed other people. So when you walk in this, in the fullness, and when you have learned how to grasp the promises of God, when somebody comes to you and they're like, I am hopeless, you say, no, you are not hopeless. Let me show you how God gave me hope. When somebody comes to you sick, no, you don't have to stay that way. Let me show you. It might be a process, but we're going to get you whole, because God says, so you can share your harvest with other people. Here's the thing. You cannot cram for a harvest. How many of you crammed in high school for a test? All of us. Every one of us, right? And you remembered when you crammed for that test, you remembered that information 1.5 days after the test, right? And that was gone. Like, I can't remember any of that stuff. Now, we cannot cramp. A lot of times we think, okay, I need wisdom and healing and restoration tomorrow. So I'm going to read like all of Matthew tonight, and then it's going to be magic, right? You cannot cram for a harvest. Jesus told this parable so you would come away with the secret. You plant this thing, you give it time, you keep your heart weeded, and that is how you get a harvest. Sometimes God in his grace just rains down the answer, and that's awesome. It's awesome when he does, but it doesn't always produce character. And so sometimes we have to learn to harvest. And we can't cram for it. When you eat an apple seed, I used to eat the whole apple. Did anybody ever do that? It's not very yummy. Okay. When you eat those seeds, they are horrible. But you eat an apple and it's wonderful. Sometimes I would much rather read a fiction book than my Bible. I mean, some of you might be really spiritual and would rather read your Bible than do anything. Sometimes I'd just rather watch a movie, if we're honest. But I eat this seed and I love what this accomplishes in my life. That movie is going to satisfy my flesh for an hour and a half. This, planting it into my heart, is going to satisfy my spirit and give me everything I need to walk whole. And so that is worth it. Seed produces after its own kind. So if you want peace, if you're really in an anxious part of your life, that's not the time to read Leviticus. It is the time to Google things on peace and read passages on peace. And man, use this thing to medicate. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:22, God's word is life and health. Actually, if you look up in the Hebrew, that health means medicine to all their flesh. Use this thing like medicine. Treat the areas of your life that need to grow. A seed is much smaller than what it produces. One verse can nourish you for years. If the Holy Spirit's breathing on that thing. Different crops have different germination periods. You can, what is a crop that produces in like no time, Jim? What comes up really quickly? Greens come up really quickly. Pumpkins take like forever, right? There are certain things in your life you're going to have quick breakthrough, and that's awesome. There are certain periods of your life you're just going to have to go deeper, and it's going to take a little bit of time. And finally, have you ever heard of the $1 million rain? Okay, this I read this in a sermons.com illustration. This man said, I used to pastor a town in Herbert, Texas, that almost the entire congregation were farmers and ranchers. And every Sunday, that's all we talked about was rain. I remember one October, I had never heard this phrase before. No, it was probably around September. We got a really slow, steady rain. I mean, the panhandle of Texas was just getting slowly soaked with rain. And an old farmer said to me, Pastor Brady, that's $1 million rain right there. Just a nice, slow soaking rain. So many times we come into the presence of God and we want a deluge. Man, I'm going to have this amazing, dramatic encounter with God. And those are awesome when they come. But some people, when we do, I've told mom before, it's interesting. A lot of times when the Lord speaks in the Sunday morning service, like half the people don't come back Sunday night. We've had this amazing encounter with God on Sunday morning. And instead of creating the appetite, it's like it just satisfied their appetite and they're done. I'm like, we just had an encounter with God. Well, let's have another one, right? But we need continuous encounters with God. It's not this, let's have one encounter for the month and that's going to do us. No, every day we just need that $1 million soaking rain time with Jesus. Just quality time with Jesus. Okay. Soil can't be tended one time and continually harvest. You can't get your heart right one day and then let all this bitterness and toxicity get in for the next month and expect to see the same crop. We got to guard our hearts. Our hearts can be strong in one area and weak in another. So find where you're weak and grow in that. We're going to finish off with a skit, to recap our Josiah's home from college. So we're going to put his dramatic abilities to the test here. And Josiah is going to represent all four hearts at different times. And you've got your seats. Okay. All right. You want to get a... So just talk loudly. You talk loudly.
Is it... Okay, just go ahead. I'm just going to put these here. I really need some financial breakthrough in my life. Come on, help me out.
I got a seed for that.
Luke 6:38. I've heard that if I will tithe and give, I'll receive. But I just don't understand how that could be. Oh, well. Okay, yeah. I've been sick for such a long time. I need healing.
I got a seat for that.
Thanks. Thanks, Jesus. I know that you're a healer, but I trusted you for healing last time, and even though I waited 2 days, healing didn't come. Oh, well. Man, I am so confused right now about God's will for my situation. I really need some answers.
I got a seat for that.
James 1:5. Oh, I can't see. Thanks for the promise, Jesus. I don't have time to pray right now, though. I'm sorry. My life is just so crazy. I wish I had more time for you, but, well, there's just a lot on my plate right now. Oh, well. God, I've really been struggling with fear for so long. I'm tired of being anxious and overwhelmed.
I got a seat for that.
Philippians 4:6-7. Hey, thanks for the promise, Jesus. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I'm going to memorize this verse. Thanks a lot. I think I'll put it on my bathroom mirror. I will not be anxious, but I will, through prayer and supplication, let my requests be made known to God. Yes, yes.
Notice every time God did his part. Sometimes we think we're waiting on God to do his part. God always does his part. But Jesus was trying to give Josiah a seed every time. But Josiah wasn't positioned to receive it and walk in it. The word of God says, go ahead to the last slide. Psalm 107:20 says, he sent his word. The one before that. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. Past tense. He already sent his word. He already delivered. But will we position ourselves to receive? So, Joe, if you will go ahead and put on an eye worship, I'm just going to invite you to come down and just do a heart check, you know, or you can do a heart check at your seats and just ask the Holy Spirit. If there are some areas you need to grow, ask the Holy Spirit, God, I'm going to need you to give me a fight verse, some seeds that I can plant in my heart to harvest this wholeness that I want to see in my life. Just do a heart check. And if you need prayer, we are down here. If you need prayer for healing, then we would be glad to pray with you and believe you for wholeness, because that is what God came to give us, life more abundantly. Let me pray real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for your word. And I thank you that you paid such a high price so that we could walk in wholeness. And I pray that we would steward your word, that we wouldn't be an unprepared heart or a shallow heart, God, or a distracted heart, but that we would be good soil and we would put your word, hide your word in our hearts so that we won't sin against you. And we will walk in all the things that you paid such a high price that we could walk in. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, come on down.